Hi, it's Loes Adegeest. You're listening to the Quick Link podcast.
Hello and welcome to Quick Link podcast show 459 for Monday the 4th of April. Two doses of UCI road action today, and coming up after that, we chat to Simon and David from Veloverse, a forthcoming browser-based fantasy cycling game. Happy birthday today to 1990 Vuelta winner Marco Giovinetti, to Yannick Steimler of Quickstep, to Gregor Mühlberger of Movistar, to 2009 Strade Bianche winner Thomas Lofquist, and to Roubaix and Lombardy winner Emil Daims. Today they turn a combined age of 236. In today's action, Maud Harif Saleh has won back-to-back stages at the Tour of Thailand with a bunch sprint into Nakhon Phanom. On today's fourth stage, Raymond Kreider was second over the line, so he extends his GC lead to 6 seconds, with the bonus seconds Alan Banaszek of Masowskie Sierpaski is second. Two stages remain. Tomorrow should be another bunch finish before Wednesday's summit finish in Mukdakhan. Domestically today at the Youth Tour of Scotland, Kat Ferguson of Yorkshire won stage 4 in the leader's jersey, so congratulations to her for the GC win. And in the boys' race, Oli Bora of the South Region took the Commerce win, with the overall going to friend of the show and fellow Wigan Athletic supporter Seb Grindley from the North West Region. Today's main action took place on the shore of the Bidasoa River, with Hondarribia playing host to the first stage of Itzulia, the Tour of the Basque Country, the fifth week-long stage race on the World Tour calendar in 2022. A 7.51 individual time trial kicking it all off from the coast, heading north through town to a hairpin into a cobbled 12% classified climb at San Telmo before looping back to the coastal town over another lumpy bit and into the finish. As ever, we'll give a 4-mile ITT the full coverage it deserves. Defending champion Primoz Roglic was fastest for Jumbo Visma. He's 8-8 for time trials in Spain. He finished with a time of 9:48, only one of two riders to go sub 10. The second was Remco Evenepoel of Quickstep Alphavinyl with a 9:53, then his teammate Remy Cavagna third in 10:04. Geraint Thomas fourth, Adam Yates fifth, Alexander Vlasov sixth. They were all 18 seconds down on Roglic. Bruno Amaral 7th, Jon Izagirre 8th, last year's runner-up Jonas Vingegaard 9th, Ben Tulett in 10th. 207.6 kilometres tomorrow, the longest of the race's 7 stages. From Letizia to Viana, they go straight up a Cat 3 climb from the flag drop, rolling onto the Cat 2 Lizagara climb, 60k in, dropping down through Lodosa and Viana, onto the final classified climb of the day, the 13k long 3% Aguilar Guyana. Down the other side, and there's a 1k long 6% kicker, 8k out, then down to the finish. That, Thailand, and the start of the 4-day circuit Cycliste Sartha are tomorrow's action. Cavendish, Cosnefroid, Pedersen, Ganna, Viviani, Hofstetter, Lampert, Coy, and Hugh Carthy are the standout names from this start list. Now, here's our chat with Simon and David from Veloverse. Right, I'll open up. It's Monday the 4th of April, it's Quick Link Podcast. I am joined by Anna and Lena, and we're chatting to Simon and David from Veloverse. You can find them on Twitter at VevoCycling, V-E-V-O Cycling, and at veloverse.io. Now, usually I'd come into an interview having known the riders or the race organisers for a few years, just ask them to come on as friends. I know their parkour inside out, I know their Palmares inside out. However, I've decided to come into this one completely blind, because it's over to you guys to explain what Veloverse is, how it works, how we can get involved, basically who, what, when, where, why, how.
Well, thanks for having us.
You're welcome. No, thanks for coming on.
Yeah, so basically the Veloverse is an upcoming cycling computer game that we are currently building. And we are very happy to have the opportunity to come here to explain a little bit about what it is that we are trying to do. So yeah, very high level introduction. It is a cycling game, but unlike the cycling games that you normally play and love, it's one that is living online. It's what we call a browser, or will be a browser-based cycling game. So instead of a normal a computer game that you download and then sit and play for an hour or two, it's going to be a web page where you log in, and there you will own your own cycling team with a bunch of riders. And you will then race against other people online. And the way the race works is that you set your riders to join a race. Then you order them to do some stuff prior to the race going on. So I could say, for instance, my one rider, he will be the designated sprinter of the day. And another one, he will attack after a certain point in the race. And then there's a deadline for entering those orders. And once the race starts, everything is calculated, and the race kind of runs itself based on the orders that you have put in. So it's a race that you can play while being on the internet and watching cycling or whatever it is that you do.
And are the riders in the game real life riders, or I'm guessing you probably run into some licensing issues there, or kind of half based on real riders, or completely fictional?
So everything is completely fictional, but of course with a foundation in the way that cycling as you and I know it. But every rider that is in the game is generated fully fictional with his own art and with a name that is generated out of a name database and then created with a bunch of skills. So there are some similarities to other games like Pro Cycling Manager and others where they have some skills and stats. So some riders are better at sprinting, others are better at climbing. But these are completely created online and fictional.
I was looking at your Twitter earlier saying there's 12 different attributes that the riders have. I'll just go through it in the order that you've put them on their Twitter. So climbing, sprint, endurance, positioning, hills, acceleration, flat, downhill, restitution, technique, toughness, and strength. So I guess for many of us who have played, I mean, I've not actually played Pro Cycling Manager, but I've played Football Manager, where you get, you know, heading, kicking, passing, tackling, that kind of thing.
It's the same stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So that, yeah, that makes sense. And then the submitting orders in advance, that takes me back to the days of like play by mail for anyone else who's over the age of 30, who's probably played play by mail games where you mail in your orders in advance, get something back in the post a week later. It's all played out. So how often would someone log in and play the game?
We've tried to make a pretty flexible setup. So basically what we want to do is to make it available for people who are not hardcore gamers but are more cycling enthusiasts and want to play a game where they can feel that rush around, is my rider going to win the sprint? Is he going to make the breakaway and so on? But it's not meant for the hardcore gamer. But if you want to play, you can play as many times a day as you want. So we will make lobbies where you play against other people and the deadline will be short. So it's not necessarily meant to be the mail in 7 days, 10 or a month deadline, right? But but just the thought of having it asynchronous, which means that you can do other stuff as well and watch the cycling race that you're watching on TV or whatever.
So as regards to the calendar of races, is it something people can drop in and say they've got three or four friends and go, oh, let's play? A digital Amstel Gold race or something, and then send their turns in? Or is it an overriding thing where you've got a set calendar with deadlines that everyone has to play or make the decision by a certain time?
It's going to be a mix of both. So there will be an ongoing tournament and ongoing ranking, which will be a global thing where you participate in whatever race is currently on. But a major thing is also the private leagues, because we recognize that this will probably be a thing where you want to play against a number of your friends, where you go in and you make up a private group and you can set whatever stage that you want to ride, and then you ride against those friends, and that will make it a more personal experience. And that, and where we're talking about rider names are IP protected, the places and the stages are not, so you can't have an IP on Abdues, and so you would be able to make up races that are similar to other known races and then play against your friends and in with your new riders that are then completely fictional.
And it's clear that we see the overlap with the real life calendar as a thing. So on Sunday here we have the Amstel Gold Race coming up, and I mean our game is in development right now and will be launched very shortly. But if we were live now, then for sure it makes sense that we have an Amstel Gold Race mirror. Likely calling it something else, but having the same route, and then you race that with your friends in your group. You set the hour race to launch, an hour before people in real life hit the finish line, and you can see the races simultaneously. And I mean, there's a lot of opportunity in that.
That's it. I say that sounds great. That how it all ties in. Just now that I'm clicking through your site, veloverse.io, it seems tied in with NFTs somehow. I don't think any of us are very well versed on this. How does that work?
Yeah. not the first person asking that question, right? So we'll try to go gently. But in general, NFTs are just a way of assigning ownership of a digital asset. And if you've played Football Manager for X amount of hours, you know you've put in a lot of work on developing your team and developing your players and so on. And if you do that in a global database, so you play something like Hattrick or something like a game where you compete against other players, then having that asset actually increase in value would be nice for you to actually capitalize on if you wanted to do so, so that you have some kind of ownership of the asset that you are talking about. And here we want these riders to be NFTs, and so that you're able to trade them and buy and sell them like something you would know as a trading card game, for example. So that if you play for a long time and you have this great rider and you want to capitalize on that, maybe you're done playing the game, you want to do something else, or maybe you just want to trade him for a number of younger talents, then you can do that on the marketplace. And that's, of course, similar to a lot of other marketplace games, but this is then based on the NFTs, where you own that asset and you can sell that and use that outside of our platform.
So with a rider, so then obviously not unique within the game, but your rider would be, say you've got Broadley Woggins, who so do their stats increase as throughout a season? So say I've started with Crass Froome, whose sprinting was 12, but over the course of playing for a year I've got his sprinting up to 16, for example. Can I then trade him with someone else? Like, you go, hey, like my Pokemon card's now better here, you can buy it off me.
That's exactly the thought, and the infrastructure is based on the crypto universe, which gives a lot of utility for how you can make this a secure and a nice experience for you to do these trades. And it's not meant for you probably heard of NFTs in terms of very high speculation, and this is not meant to be that at all. My guess is that the cheapest riders will be $0.01, right? So it's not meant as a speculation, but it's meant to award the people who actually put in the hours to make the gameplay a nice experience for the other players as well. And our hardcore belief in this is that the NFT market in general will take over, because over time the gameplay, you would rather play a game where you have some kind of asset protection versus a game where you don't, if the two gameplays are similar and have a good experience in both. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does. So say in 3 or 4 years down the line, if I'm joining as a new player, and I'm feeling a little bit flush, I've got $5 that have come through from our VeloSkin affiliation. Shout out to veloskin.cc. Save 10% with the code QUICKLINK at checkout. There we are. That's our first ever mid-show advert. Can I log into the game and then just go, do you know what, I'm going to buy that dude's Tadej Rogačar, or that guy's Limoš Proglič,
We need to have you guys naming our riders. This is awesome.
I'm just thinking of the days of playing Pro Evo Soccer where they didn't have the license and you had like David Breckham and that kind of Alon Shiraz, that kind of thing.
Yeah, so yeah, so you can definitely go in and purchase you know, a rider. So the way that it will work is that when you sign up to the game, there will be a sign up cost, a small cost, and you will be assigned a team. So you will come in and I think everything's up for discussion because we're still developing. But right now it looks like you'll get between 10 and 20 riders. And they will be your unique NFTs, and it's not going to be a big buy-in, so it's something that everybody should be able to afford. And then you race the game, and signing up and playing and training these riders will be all yours.
Have you put in protections like a transfer limit so people just can't come in and just buy 20 riders from other people? You know, like a limited number of transfers per year, or you have to start with 8 or 10 of the original riders you're assigned, that kind of thing?
Well, first off, you cannot buy a rider if the seller doesn't agree to it. So that's a natural limit. If I have a rider called Briss Broom and you really desperately want him, but if I won't let you, then there's no selling. But how it will work in terms of limits or caps on transfers and number of riders owned, that is to be defined, I think.
Well, whilst we're on the topic of names, I reckon there's six of us on the show team. Can we all become riders?
Yeah. I mean, we have a name database that we update, and one of the features that we have currently for people signing up for the game is that they will be eligible to put their name, full name, if they want to, into our name database. Obviously, people also want to be anonymous, so that's an option too, but they can.
Ah, sounds fantastic. 20s across the board, please. That'd be So what's the estimated launch time for the game?
So we have...
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Dave.
We have some deadlines. The first one coming up here is in very soon, actually. So we are in you can see it on the web page. But we have in April the first kind of big thing. The 24th of April is where we put our game for sale. You could say you could sign up for the game, and the game doesn't actually launch on the 24th of April, but it will be where you sign up to be a part of the game. And the reason we do it like this is simply to see how many people are willing to commit already there to play in the beta, and then get these people into our Discord and get them to play and come with the feedback and contribute to how the game is running. Once we kind of get a feel for how many will do that, we also will put a date on when we actually launch the beta version, and I expect it to be within a few weeks of the beta pass date.
I say I'm genuinely quite interested and quite excited to play this. Actually, Anna, Elena, any questions for Simon or David?
So, are you hoping to build quite a large community behind the game as well? Saying you've got your Discord there as well.
Yeah, I mean it's like any other game where you play against other players. I mean, we could build the best game in the world, but if nobody's playing it, then you know, what does it matter? And our vision for this is not to have like 10 million people playing it, but we would like to have enough people play it so that when you join a game and join a lobby to play the next Amstel Gold Race, then there are actually other people to play against. So of course, the more, the merrier, and then we will be able to launch races faster and have a more lively community. So obviously, the more, the merrier.
Sorry, I'm just poking around your website now. Dialing back a couple of steps. Could people create their own custom races?
So not at first, but surely what we are looking at is we want to have the basis first, so that the race experience, we would like to be good. So when you actually do sit and watch your race and you can cheer for your riders, we would like the viewer to be so that you can see when the final meters and the sprint, then you can see your rider going up against the front or whatever. And that part is where we will start our focus. And then we build on, we add on. So we would like a race calendar that is interesting and lively. And then at some point we would say, okay, what does it take for our users to create custom stages or races, create custom gear for their riders and all these things. And since this is based on a crypto blockchain technology, it will certainly be possible. We just need to have it integrated with our technology.
And going on to when a race is taking place, what will a team manager see when a race is taking place? Like data, stats-wise, how interactive is it during the race? I'm guessing probably not, because you've submitted your team orders saying, Remco, Evenepoel attack with 60k to go, that kind of thing. Will you get like a live text feed as it plays out, like you would on Football Manager, if you're not watching the little dots bounce about the screen? Or will it be a report at the end saying so-and-so happened, etc.?
Yeah, exactly. That's pretty much the general idea. So you won't be able to interact during the race, and it's a very deliberate choice in order to make it playable for the hobby cycling enthusiast, that you don't have to be very much active and be very strategic in the game. And that's a deliberate choice. And what you see is basically what you would normally experience if you watch a Tour de France stage without watching the live TV feed, but you watch all the other stats. So you watch times and groups and text updates on this person is attacking or this person is relaying or whatever is going on.
So, I mean, in the future, do you think that you might do sort of, if you get somebody who's really, a group of people who are really into it, would you sort of do a more live version so that people can play it and so you will sort of throw obstacles at them so that they can, have to think in real time about what they're going to do with their riders? Or you're going to, very much on board with the pre-planned stats?
Well, for now, the plan is definitely to stay on the pre-planned, but if there's if there's a community that really wants the more live action setting, then that will be something we will listen to. And I think that the entire blockchain crypto community is community driven. So it's very much defined by whatever the community actually wants to go with. And that's the general idea with NFTs as well, is that you divide not only the monetary upside, but also the mandate to do decisions across the users and not just from the team building.
Can riders only progress through races, or would it be possible to say, instead of going to the Amstel Gold Race, my rider will do a training camp and work on his climbing or something like this?
Drugs.
Yeah, definitely. We will make sure that there are multiple paths to victory. And I think what we will focus on is ensuring that we have a fun, balanced way of doing it, so that if you want to take some of your riders on a training camp, then they gain some kind of advantage doing that. But the riders that you send to Amstel Gold Race, they will also increase in experience and stuff like that, but they will probably also suffer more from fatigue after racing. So it will be a balance, and we don't know exactly how that balance will be just yet, because it also depends on the frequency of races and the severity of your training camp or all these kind of factors that we are still to balance out, I would say, but will definitely fix or work out in the beta version.
And a more technical question, would people need to be familiar with cryptocurrencies and the metaverse to access this game? Or, for example, I don't dabble in cryptocurrencies and I don't know anything about the metaverse. And I would assume many other cycling fans are quite similar in this regard.
I'm the same, Lena. Yeah.
So how is it? How technical is accessing this game?
Well, our hope is that it will be indistinguishable from a browser game without the crypto background infrastructure in terms of the UI. So that there's not much in the way that you play it, but it's the upside in the infrastructure that lies behind it that's interesting. So if you don't know anything about crypto, it won't be anything that you have to learn, and you don't have to take part of the crypto universe as such if you don't wish to. So the only prerequisite that will be is that you have to have a wallet to store these NFTs, and we will do as much as we can to show that that's a five-click journey to do that. And other games have been successful in onboarding people to that knowledge of crypto without sacrificing on the UI and the UX experience. So I really hope that people like you will be able to play this without any hassle. And if you can't, then write us, and we'll definitely do everything we can to make that hassle as small as possible.
You actually touched on the next thing I had on my list, which was rider fatigue, where obviously, you know, if you had a great rider with 20s across the board, you could just throw him at every race. So well done, that one's answered. Obviously, there's some kind of, would there be like a stats decay or just a general fatigue that, you know, if they're 80% fatigued, 80% of their stats, that kind of thing?
That's a really interesting discussion. And I think that I have a lot of different opinions, but we need to see how the beta plays out in order for us to make sure that we have the right balance. Because you can also, if I have a very good rider, I want to be able to use him. And if I disencourage you to use him by doing him very fatigued, then I will incentivize you to buy more, making it more expensive for you to be able to play much. So either you don't play as much, or you have to pay to buy new riders, and that kind of balance is what we need to figure out. Because I want you to be able to play as much as possible without being a feeling of having to pay outright. So I like the fatigue on a storytelling narrative kind of way, but we need to make sure that we're not putting in roadblocks for usage.
Yeah, I mean, my exact notes here, it says fatigue versus form. Obviously, a rider can ride themselves into form, particularly over like the course of like a 3 weeks Grand Tour stage race, that you may come in tired on day two, but by day eight, you're absolutely pinging all over the place because you've ridden yourself into form. So you can have that one for free. Fatigue versus form. That
makes a lot of sense. And I think especially if we're talking about these private leagues where you are playing against your friends, then having that kind of fatigue and form will make it interesting to see each race and who's actually performing and who's not. And there probably won't be the same I need to buy new riders incentives, because you're all in this boat together, where in the global race calendar with a ranking, we need to figure out exactly how to do that. But it's definitely one of the balances that we are looking at, and that we want to use the beta to make just right.
And from there, could you move to could you move to races that, like customized races where you put restrictions on teams, so only under 23s, or for example, like if Burgos BH in real life, you traditionally take riders from the Basque country, that kind of thing. Would that be possible in the future?
Yeah, definitely. Everything is possible in this world, and I think one of the things that you have to remember is that we are developing this game now. And have a Discord server that we're opening up now for input like this. We're not a big game studio that is like a closed door team working on something. So if the people all come in and say, hey, we want under 23 races, well, sure, let's do that. We can create all the kind of barriers for entry that we want to. We can only have riders that are first named where it starts with an A if we want to.
I approve that message, actually.
That was Anna, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah. that also brings me on to something that I was going to ask you about. So obviously the three of us here, and obviously most of our listeners, well, I imagine all of our listeners, are established cycling fans with long histories in the sport. Tell us about yourselves, Simon and David, your backgrounds in not just cycling or interested in cycling, but, you know, generally, let's get to know you as people and as a company.
Yeah, so we are three main developers of this game, and we have quite different backgrounds. But I think the thing that ties us together the most, I think, is our interest in cycling and games, and this is where this is a perfect fit. So my background, I'm working in a private company as a manager, and I have a lot of years of experience in working in a big organization, a global company, and I have all kinds of business experience that I bring to this. But I've always enjoyed cycling and racing, and I've always enjoyed playing games, especially these browser-based online games. So this is me stepping a little bit out of the comfort zone of the corporate world and into this space here, where I feel like there's a big gap in the cycling community on actually playing a game like the ones I've used to play and love. And I think there's room for us to create one. And then our second developer, and not Simon here on the call, but the same one, he's a game nerd, a freak that has a vast experience in games and works in a game shop and has a experience in creating his own board game. So he's really our aficionado in ensuring that we have a game that is full of integrity and interesting choices. So sometimes I get a little bit lost in the cycling lore or something like that, and he comes in and say, no, but this is not fun to play. So he's the gamer of us.
Yeah, and then I'm the technical part. So I used to be an IT consultant for a number of years, and so I have a technical background, but I also have a cycling enthusiasm, and I'm sitting here next to my bike with a home trainer. So I'm training to do the second stage of the Tour de France in Denmark. So I'm riding 200 kilometers, and I'm in hopefully not with the wrong wind direction, but let's see. So I have to be ready for that.
So you're actually heading out to you are. Are you all based in Denmark?
Yes, we are.
Ah, okay, right. Stage two. I'm trying to think. Is that the one to? That's one run from Roskilde. So it's Copenhagen,
yeah,
first
day, right? Well remembered. Roskilde to Nyborg across the Great Belt Bridge. So it's a one way street. So if the wind is in the wrong direction, that will be 200 kilometers of pain. And if it's not, then it will be fine. So, so pray for me when the day comes.
You don't feel like you're going to tag on the back of the pro race? Just grab yourself a cheeky 164th.
I'm not sure my legs will be even in last place in that.
Have you put yourselves into the game as riders?
We are a part of the name database now, but we might take ourselves out just because there's no reason that there are people called our name when you could be a fun experience for our users to have their own name.
Actually, on your website, the three three avatars. I'm assuming that's you three.
Well, it would be obvious it was, but it's not. It's actually.
Oh right.
We have the way that the graphics works on the riders is that we have a number of different noses and mouths and head types and bike helmets and they are just matched randomly so that we will generate a random rider each time.
Is that called procedurally generated? Is that right?
Procedurally generated. I don't know if that's the right term. It might be.
Is that the thing? Just like from a set of assets, it's kind of random.
Yeah, exactly. So you just.
Oh, okay.
We have eight layers, and then you put them on top of each other and pick one at random, and then some will be more rare, and some of them will be more frequent, and hopefully they will. Our game or our goal has been to make a fun, not too serious kind of world and make them fun to fall in love with each of these riders, where you I'm really hoping for that situation where you're cheering on your breakaway rider and he's going up the mountain alone, and I want that to be kind of a fun cartoonish style, so it doesn't get too hardcore gamerish.
And I guess there's scope there for you guys to create unique frames, unique bike designs, maybe like Zwift does, where you unlock jerseys, that kind of thing. It's obviously a pathway there for you to generate some income, perhaps as well.
Well, the income is, and I want to be very clear, the income is not the goal for us. I mean, we are sitting here making a game because we've always enjoyed cycling and browser based games, and we are all in a good place in life. So the income is not the goal here, but you are certainly right that when you do it like this, you open up for the opportunity for people to create their own customized helmets or bikes or jerseys, and then if you let's say you compete in a league and you win the Tour de France amongst your playgroup with the overall GC, then maybe you unlock a golden shirt or something like that. So clearly there's a lot of room to play around with the gear.
It sounds like I should join your Discord group, isn't it?
Yeah, please do. I mean, very new, and it's getting populated now with some activity. And I think what we ultimately really hope is that people come in and provide feedback, give us all their good insights and critique if things not plan out the way that they hope. I mean, I think that one of the challenges that we have is that when we talk about cycling, then everybody in the cycling community I must say, the cycling Twitter community, it's been so nice to be kind of discussing here and there with everybody. People are really, really, knowledgeable and enthusiastic. And I think getting these people on board with the way that we envision cycling, where you don't have a live race where you say, okay, now I steer left and now I steer right, but having the experience of now this is a game where you log on a few times a week and then you follow the race in a setting that you have already ordered, so the riders know what to do, and then the race plans out. That is something that we have always enjoyed in soccer games and other games, and I think getting that experience over the ramp to the cycling enthusiast, that is going to be a fun challenge, because people don't associate cycling or games with that. They see Pro Cycling Manager where they control the race, or so having the experience like that is going to be very exciting, and I really hope that people will come on board and join the Discord and to see our vision and then come with their own idea of what could be fun.
Yeah, I think I'm on board. I mean, it's very easy, especially in like the crypto NFT kind of world, to be quite sniffy and cynical about these kind of things. However, it comes like you've come at this with a completely different attitude, and it genuinely does seem something that could be quite fun in a browser. We're looking forward to, well, I'm speaking for myself, but yeah, I'm genuinely looking forward to getting involved in 3 weeks' time, hopefully, when your beta opens.
Yeah, no, certainly. I'll give it a go. What's the worst?
Thank you. And we're super happy to hear that. Thanks for the support.
Yeah, I'm not sure I'll be any good.
I'm seeing it going the same way my Willow games go. It's going. First, I'm really enthusiastic and do it, and then it goes down and down and down, and I forget, and I forget. And then mid-season, I remember, there was something.
Yeah, and that's a classical gaming thing, right? That you have to, how do you make it fun the sixth time and the tenth time? Let's see if we can do that.
Seeing the entries for our Velo Games mini leagues last year, I think we started off in, what was the first race last year? Possibly the Giro. There was a Spring Classics before that. But yeah, that 100 entries. By the time it got to Lombardia, or Roubaix, actually, because I was obviously quite late in the year, it was down to 50. It's like, oh, no. And you could clearly see people had not changed their teams at all because none of them were riding. But that's just one of those things. It's a natural drop-off. So
yeah, finally, we hope we can keep this dynamic by adding more stuff to it along as long as we go, because of the beta, you know, it will launch with the focus on the actual race and the viewing experience, and then we will add like features that will support the game. So hopefully we will see that people enjoy it more and more, and that the suggestions or feedback that they come with will be integrated, so people can see, you know, this is actually growing in the way that I hoped and I suggested. And just small things like being able to make background stories on the riders, like so you have a narrative and you know, or you can make press announcements from your team so that you can kind of build your own narrative around your team and your riders, so that when you cheer them on, you know, let's say you watched we had the Flanders yesterday, and if you watched that race, the last 13 kilometers, and you were clicking on the viewer and watching the seconds in between the groups, I mean, it would be quite fun if you knew, okay, these are the riders that are actually riding, and these are the stories, and you know, I mean, we see it as a quite an interactive experience, even though that the race is already calculated.
So a role playing aspect is also involved.
What kind of aspect? Sorry,
a role playing aspect, like if you do media releases and everything.
Yeah, well, you can do it the way that you want to, and if you have a team where you build and you can create your logo right for the team and have a narrative around that. I mean that's only going to be more fun, I think, for you and for everybody around you.
Mm-hmm.
100%. I'm starting a quick link team and tweeting about it. This is something I've not talked about on the podcast before, and I might cut this out. But on Football Manager 2013, so 9 years ago, or like 10 years ago before it came out, I created a website which is still up, which is Real Time FM. I think it's realtimefm.blogspot.com or something. I think it's still there, where I played Football Manager in real time, one day at a time, and blogged about it as if it was completely real. Honestly, it was the best 3 years of my life. It was so much fun. I took Wigan Athletic to about 7th or 8th in the Premier League, then got the job at Borussia Dortmund, took them to the Bundesliga title. And obviously, I didn't do any of the like the save scumming stuff. I just tweeted everything out as real, wrote the blog as real, graphics. We got knocked out by Ajax in the Champions League quarterfinals with like a last-minute extra time winner for them. And I literally sat down on the end of my bed at that day and cried because, oh, this is bringing this back. I'll put the link in the group chat because it was genuinely heartbreaking. But after 3 years, I was completely done. So on this, I can completely see us getting behind a fictional Quicklink team of Broadly Wagons and, Chris Broom.
That's exactly the, and you hear those kinds of stories all the time, right? When you talk about a game like this, that people are so attached to some weird player in a game, right? And it's just, we want you to be able to have that feeling and give them that story and background and be part of that community. And that's one of the reasons that the Discord and that kind of community angle is important for us, because you need somewhere to talk to others that have that same feeling.
Yeah. Well, I'm on board. I can't wait. 20 days to go. So your beta opens on the 24th, which is the day of Liège-Bastogne-Liège. What a nice day. Oh. Next monument on the calendar. Oof.
Yeah, yeah. We marked that date, not necessarily only because of Liège-Bastogne-Liège, but it's a nice day with a monument, and then with the sign up, and I just want to clarify that the beta doesn't open at that date. It's the sign up, and the reason that we are having a delay after the sign up until the start of the beta is to kind of get a feel for how many is on board now and how much more do we need to you know, spread the word and advertise, and when do we go to launch of beta, because it's not going to be fun if there's 10 people who joins the beta, because then, you know, you won't have a race. But if we have 1,000 players signing up, then we go immediately into building the beta, and I think or launching the beta, and that's the reason for the delay. We just need to ensure that the people actually joining the beta have a good time.
Well, there's 11 show staff, and there's two other people that live in my house, so that's at least 13. So you're past the 10 mark already.
Yeah. I'm already back by back stories.
How many people... Sorry. How many people would you need at the very least to start a beta? The 1,000 you mentioned, or would 500 be enough for the start?
No, I think we have set ourselves a cap, like a top. So we stop it at 1,000 if we get to that. If we get there, that would be very gratifying, of course. But we can definitely see ourselves starting a beta with way fewer. I mean, the important thing is here, the way that we see it is that we have 20 team managers with 5 riders in each race. That is kind of the setup right now. And that means that if you're not 20 players, then you don't have a full peloton. And then that's a good place to start and say, okay, do we have these 20 players? And what are the chances that they all remember to set orders for each race? And if, you know, if we want to be a little bit more redundant than that, then we may go up to, let's say, let's have a 40 player beta or a 200 player beta and make sure that we do have several races that we can compare and get data from, and people can have experience. So we would like to have a few hundred at least, and we say right now it's 1,000 max, just to ensure that we keep the number of people that are able to actually give feedback without it drowning. That's where we set the max.
What? Sorry. I was having a swig of that Pinot Grigio I took earlier. I'm very curious to see where this goes. I'm very interested as well. Anna, Lena, any further questions for Simon and David? Or anything that Simon and David, you want to wrap up on?
I'm just already writing my player profiles. I've got a cynical, gnarly, hard-drinking road captain. And a perky, young, naive newbie who's just attacks all the time. They're right themselves. I'm sold.
This is awesome. This is exactly what really would that will generate a lot of good vibes in a community. If you have everybody would know your captain, and if that rider finishes number 57, everybody will be aware of him anyway. I think that's a perfect example.
Can you introduce a Movistar button where you just send 3 people up the road and fuck it, whatever? That's the tactic.
Yeah, well, we've been tweeting the last few weeks and months, and you know, whenever there is races ongoing, real life races, we try to comment on them, and we have already in that series of tweet defined that the internal team dispute setting is not something that is highly prioritized.
I think my road captain's going to have something to say about that.
Yeah.
Is going to be getting everybody.
Well then, Simon, David, thank you for coming on. Anything else you'd like to share about Veloverse? Obviously, you can view their website at veloverse.io. They're on Twitter at Vevo Cycling. That's Vevo Cycling. Any final messages for our listeners?
I mean, we have a Discord, come in there and see when we give updates and previews and come with feedback. I mean, we are just like you and you listeners here. We are cycling fanatics, and we really want to take our love for real life cycling into a game, and whatever we need to do to help to make it the way that you see it. I think that is really welcome feedback.
Oh, good stuff. So I'm going to join your Discord. I was going to do it earlier, but on the call, I didn't know if this would completely bugger up the recording. But yes, I'll see you in there, because I'm quite excited about this, actually, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. So
I think Simon, I will also give it a try.
Yeah, I think we will. I think so we'll put it in our show group chat. There's 11 of us who contribute to the show in various forms. Yes, and then obviously we'll tweet out about this episode will go out tonight. It's Monday, it's about 8 o'clock UK time. We'll wrap it up there. So thank you, Simon and David, for coming on thank you, Simon and David, for coming on to talk to us about Veloverse, an exciting new browser-based cycling game. Oh, you're very welcome. No, thank you for taking the time, and thank you for reaching out to us as well.
Well, thank you for the opportunity.
Well, we'll call it a day there. Thank you very much indeed. I'm going to put the microphone away now, and that's the end of my presenting voice. Yay! I can say fuck and shit and stuff now. No, Christ.
you really held out well, Guy. I'm impressed.
I did. I don't think I swore once. that's fucking rare, isn't it? No, honestly, I came into it really sniffy, thinking it's an NFT crypto, which we don't, I'll be honest, I don't understand, vaguely understand, but honestly, this generally sounds quite fun.
Yeah, I think it's getting too technical if you go down that rabbit hole in a podcast like this. I mean, it's obviously something that we are into or interested in, because that, I mean, the technology behind it is something that we have we wouldn't choose it to be on building on that platform if it wasn't appealing to us. But it's not why we are building the cycling game. It's because of our love of cycling, and I think there might be people out there that is not going to touch this game because of this technology. And I think it at some point will be very relevant for us to explain why the environmental impact or the technology, or, you know, why is that not a valid concern at this point. And I think that this is not it. This is not the show now, but maybe at some point it will be.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, and you're both always welcome back on, especially with the sign up for the beta. Always welcome back on. You know, just have a quick 5-minute chat and saying it's open, blah blah blah.
Yeah, recap some how it's going and stuff.
Yeah,
we'd love to come again. It's been great fun.
Ah, good stuff.
You've been listening to Quicklink Podcast, your daily microdose of pro cycling news and results. You can find us across social media at Quicklink Pod, or you can contact us by emailing show@quicklinksports.com. Share the show, and we'll be back with you tomorrow. Bye now.